The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Good, very late evening. At least it's the time I'm recording, ladies and germs. Yes, the viewer is back. I can't quite say better than ever, but I'll say quirkier than ever, given the last few days. And this is Point of Viewer, part deux. Hopefully of many, many more, and not with the exaggerated body count. But you catch me in a bad day, it's different. But anyways, I got a lot of catching up to do, especially... not exactly in the realm of conundrums, although admittedly there's been some good developments. One good and one that's like, really wish I didn't have to deal with this, but there's a whole bunch of potential benefits. All I'm going to say is for 1721, and if you want to know how I arrived at that particular code, tweet me at Squid Sportshead and I will tell you. There were a couple of very significant shoes that had to drop. Thankfully, over this past week they have. Now I'm waiting on resolution of that, and hopefully, well, okay. I really shouldn't admit that I do this, but when you're someone like me, here I am, I'm closing in on my 31st birthday, and I'm going to admit my history with the fair sex is sparse. So when you get into dry spells that turn into droughts, it starts creeping in closer, closer, and closer, and a few years ago, when the drought was of near biblical proportions, I had a terrible habit of counting how long the drought had gone on. Now, thankfully, through the sanity and wisdom of my very best friend, who, for the interest of this podcast, shall remain nameless, and I'll explain why in a little while, she helped me kind of snap out of that habit. Well, unfortunately, partially through my own circumstance, partially through reasons beyond my control, another drought has developed. Now again, I'm not as bad as I was, say, 5 years ago, but things are still creeping in nonetheless. And when you get to the point to where the drought lasts multiple years, I'm sure with anybody, if you're so inclined, and if you have needs that you want to satisfy, which I'm the first one to say I'll completely understand, it sets in, and it's creeping from the back of your mind, kind of marching, organizing, holding signs, or doing whatever to the front of your mind. So that's kind of in the position I'm in. Now, being older and somewhat wiser, I can hold it back at bay for a little bit, but still, it's a bit of an issue. But I'm hoping that with recent developments, that drought will soon come to an end. And for 1722, I mean, the first thing that I can easily say is, I know why people have certain attitudes towards gingers. I don't. My particular thing, sure, you can call it a fetish, sure, you can call it a kink. I'll wear that with pride, but yes, redheads hold a special place in my heart, good and bad. And I had a little bit of a bad experience with one, but it turns out I had baggage and drama, so did she. Things are all well and good between us. Still friends. She I would have hoped sorted things out because she just had a beautiful, healthy, bouncing baby, and I'm still here sailing the single seas trying to figure out where the fuck all these places are on my map and why the hell the map is drawn in a certain language and why the orientations are showing up in four dimensions when it should only be two. And maybe that's part of the problem, because I keep hearing all of this stuff about figuring out what I want, and it kind of bugs me a bit because I thought I knew, but apparently I still don't. And I guess visualizing about 5'10", buxom bisexual redheads doesn't really do me any favors. I don't know if any therapist will really touch that issue. I have to ask, but so far, I have my best friend. She's helping me out and keeping me, for the most part, sane about this issue. But I know I've got a lot of work to do. Now, the reason why I mention this, it kind of ties into two different things. One is, I've sort of revived my fuck it list. And yes, it's pretty much exactly how it sounds. Everybody, especially after the Jack Nicholson, Morgan Freeman movie, The Bucket List, where they do all of the things that they want to do in life before they die, well, that's great, and that's a nice little quirk or novelty, and it gives you a good set of goals, but you shouldn't just have the one. And me being me, way back, starting from a live journal, which, yes, I'm dating myself just with that reference, to other different media and writing everything down and keeping it aside, I had something of an interesting bucket list, but I realized this is me. I have multiple facets of myself. So, along with the regular bucket list, like traveling to Puerto Rico, seeing MLB parks, spinning the wheel on The Price is Right, you know, the regular kind of stuff, even though, if you know me, you know item number 70, touching a pregnant woman's stomach, which I'm very glad to say that I was able to check off that list, that still counts as regular. So, from that, I spawned the fuck it list. Things that I want to do sexually before I die. And looking at this list, I mean, it's nothing too bad. I mean, giving anal sex to a bigger girl, anal cream pies, there's different sorts of kinks on there that I've already done. Fucking a pregnant woman, witnessing a live act of lesbian twincest. I mean, it's pretty run-of-the-mill. But in looking at that, kind of since kind of chasing it, although finding a woman who's taller than 5'9 is a bit of a rarity, although woman who claims to be 6'1", 175 did call into my favorite radio show yesterday, and the fact that she was 6'1", 175, I was extremely intrigued for a lot of reasons. Yes, that is an item on my fuck it list, getting with an Amazon. Again, no shame, but I guess with seeking out all of these things, is this what my friend keeps saying about deciding what I want? Because it did take me a lot of waffling through my 20s to figure out settling down, qualities in a woman, whether I wanted to be married or not. And when you're in your 20s, especially nowadays, you get those ideas. But now I'm pretty sure I've got those sorted out, but in hearing these, am I sure? I mean, do I really know? And if I'm questioning, is it an automatic no? That there's a lot to really digest, and maybe I need to take a walk and have a pilgrimage of my own to try to sort out these things and figure out what I want in life, because especially if my conundrums work out, I've potentially got a lot of major decisions to make. I mean, is it enough that a dirty side, a kinky side, and very good, decent capabilities of conversation, is that enough? Should that be enough? I mean, I think so. I see beauty in all forms and all things, just about all types, and my history, the only women that have really interacted with me on any sort of an intimate level have had some kind of baggage. I mean, that's going to happen more and more now as society's changed and everybody has their own little warps in their own life experiences. I've accepted that. I don't know if I should accept that, but I have. And usually women that have their shit together better are either not interested or are, deservedly so, taken. I mean, no matter how I express my feelings, I mean, this works for me. And it took me years and years of going down a lot of dark emotional roads, to a lot of dead ends, to even get here. I've always thought that it was enough, but if everybody keeps telling me to figure out what I really want, is it? I could sit here right now and rattle off a bunch of stuff, but I would hope everyone who keeps mentioning this will give me some sort of answer, or at least a primer of how to figure it out, because if it's really down like that, I'm the first to tell you, I'm still fucking clueless. Clueless. And as I'm getting older, delving deeper into my 30s, maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe I should. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I still got my fuck it list. And if I can get a woman to walk around with my cum on her face, I strike that as a positive sign in my book. Take that for what it is. But the second reason why I bring up my friend, and again, names are redacted to protect the innocent and awesome and to keep myself from any sort of threats. There was a conversation about an interesting incident. Now, I'm going to keep the majority of the details of the incident classified for safety's sake. But, I could be willing to share that the fact that the word dripping was used. That is all I'm going to say. But, in that conversation, the two of us walking along, outside, getting some lunch, especially for me, because, yeah, breakfast being the most important meal of the day, that's true, because just about every time I skip breakfast, by 11 o'clock, I'm a hungry motherfucker. And since I usually don't even start work until 10, taking a break that early isn't really apropos, so I wait. But walking along to the deli, getting some lunch, I came up with what I call the viewer Miranda rights. Now, if you watched any sort of legal drama like a Law and Order or reality shows like Cops, or unfortunately if you've had run-ins and you've been arrested, you know a thing or two about a traditional Miranda rights. Right to remain silent, right to an attorney, yada yada yada, blah blah. Well, the conversation with the alleged mention of drooping, that spawned the viewer Miranda rights. Now, this is something that I kind of started on the fly, and I spoke with her, and I mentioned, yeah, I'm probably going to talk about this, and she was like, just keep my name out of it, and I have agreed, at least I would hope for those listening, be it live, replay, or what have you, you can notice, you can run the tape, you can try to do whatever you can to kind of swerve to get me on the backside. Mm-mm. Yeah, I ain't going down like that. But what started as a simple sentence, me sitting there in my cube, just randomly thinking and being spawned by the awesome music that is A Perfect Circle, which, yeah, lead singer, I swear, that man, no human being could be anywhere as awesome as Maynard James Keegan. That just, no. Go on YouTube, look up Tool, look up A Perfect Circle, look up Pucifer, you will understand. Listen to the music, watch the videos, let them consume you, let them in. You will understand what I'm talking about. But having that as a source of inspiration, I was able to come up with, in full, the viewer Miranda rights. And, like the traditional Miranda rights, they start out the same. You have the right to remain silent. But when you have conversations with me, especially if you're of the female persuasion, especially if I've known you for a little while, from time to time, things happen. Things get said, things get done, under consensual basis, body parts get touched. I don't pull trump cards. I don't believe in pulling trump cards without consent anyways, but that's a rant for another day. So, sitting down and absorbing all that and knowing my interactions, I came up with this. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be entered into my spank bank. You have the right to notify your significant other, who may be present to represent you and strike any remarks from the record. If you not have a significant other, sorry about your luck, but I can be appointed to you at no charge. Plain and simple. Shit gets weird. I give you an out. I let you know. There's going to be times. I have my computer. I have time to myself. I have socks. I've got what I need. I'm going to think back on this. Do what I have to do. If you're cool with it, I'm cool with it. We can march forward. If not, hey, I warned you. I warned you thoroughly. This is how it's going to go down. This is what's going to happen. So be it. Thankfully, in the first invocation of the viewer Miranda rights, things went well. There was laughing. There was further discussions. Life went on pretty much as normal. So, I can already chalk one up in the books. No need for tasers or anything, in which, if you don't get tased, it's usually a very, very good day. Now, as I broadcast this to you, it's pretty late in the evening. Got some other loose ends to tie before I head off to sleep. I wake up in the morning as I'm getting ready for work, and I have a new part of a routine. If you've seen some of my pictures on Facebook or on Twitter, at Squid Sports Head, you can probably tell I have a pretty decent beard. Now, for the longest time, as I was attempting to grow a beard through my infancy of adulthood, It didn't go so well. It stuck together, didn't go right, was very coarse, tried to use all kinds of gels and everything, and when I was working on campus as a tutor in college, one of my fellow tutors flat out said to me it was like I had a bunch of pubes on my face. I thought it weird at the time, but looking more and more at my beard, I'm like, you know what? He's kind of got a point there. This has a very pubish kind of look to it. I need to change that. So, after getting advice through the years, how to style my facial hair, different gels I've tried, shaving it, different creams, soap and water, this and that, I decided, I better invest in something and let it grow. So, a few weeks back, just after payday, I was perusing through Walgreens and I found this pretty cool, affordable two-step system. So now, what I've resigned to do, which really, thankfully, isn't too bad, I have a special beard wash, and yes, there are washes just for beards. I thought about using it on my pubes, but the fact that my facial hair and pubic hair are an entirely different grade, so I figure, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, just about every day, it used to be every day, but then I just get busy, lazy, some cases both. I take some time, wet up my beard, get it a good lather going, and it's actually pretty easy to do. So I give it a good wash, let all the minerals, vitamins, and all of that good stuff sink in, dry it off, and then I apply the beard butter. Which really isn't too bad. It doesn't really fuck up my hands either, which is a big plus. So, do that. Put in the beard butter. Give it a good comb through, which I normally try to do anyways. And I've noticed the pubish appearance is going away. It is looking more and more like a legitimate, actual beard. Now, granted, there are still some days where I feel like I should go ahead, shave it, start over, hit the reset button, and I have a couple of times the interesting effects, especially the fact that me and cleaning razors is a bit of a task, which I really need to get some better disposable ones, or get that expensive one razor that I keep seeing on TV commercials. That might be a future investment, but while doing that, yes, it grows back, and it grows back a little bit weirder, a little bit coarser, a little bit just not right. So I figure, to hell with it. You decide you want to be on my face. I need to make you stay. So, the comb through, after the butter, after the washing in, I found out this is what I should have been doing years ago. So, after about 3 weeks, it looks a little bit fuller, looks better. Now, granted, I'm not at the stage where women ooh and ah and run their hands all over my face yet, but I have a feeling I'm well on my way. They do that when I wear the epic hair in its full epic form, which I need to do soon when the weather cooperates and I don't wind up sweating my balls off. Yeah, that, I have a feeling that can happen. So, next up is corralling my stash via mustache wax. That'll be coming this payday, so hopefully in future podcasts, I'll let you know how that goes. Now, among all of the chaos, among the Viewer Miranda Act, and among the my interactions with women and the craziness that's been the past fortnight since I've been able to reach out to you in Podcastlandia last, I've noticed a few things, especially in terms of overall friendships, but with a twist. As I was talking with my awesome producer, Sean, before the show, I spoke with a friend of mine who I've known about a decade. He's interested in coming in, being a guest. Me, personally, it would be interesting, but the best I could do for now is take it under advisement. I let him listen. Previous episodes, I'm sure there will be further discussions. All I will say about that. But in looking back on not just this, but all of my past friendships, especially when I get to show up at another longtime friend's graduation party, she's so excited that I'm there, and so is just about everybody else, to the point to where in just a mere half an hour I was already bombarded with 3 picture requests because people had really been doubting my existence, which shows that I need to get out more. Yeah. Gotta fix that. But I realize that things, especially with me, are in somewhat of a state of transition. Transitioning to following my dream, chasing it a little more with my podcast, which turns into other opportunities, one being potentially emceeing a burlesque variety type event. Also, connection made thanks to my best friend. God, I owe that woman so much. And yeah, I mean, any time that you have a friend who's willing to listen and understand the fact that after just a couple months of knowing her, you have somewhat of a wet dream about her, and you're still friends anyway? Let me tell you, people, that's a plus. That is a major plus. Because normally, you get creeped out, you get punched, kicked, potentially stabbed, tased, I don't know, but best case scenario, you're laying on the ground. Worst case scenario, you're waking up in the hospital after that kind of news. I've seen that happen before. But this is one of those to where she rolled with it. She knew I was a bit of an odd duck, and we've been friends ever since. Now going on nearly 5 years. Looking in all these situations and everything, there's still these different types of transitions. I'm going on transitioning to these things and opportunities. People are transitioning on to the next phases of their lives. And with a couple of people, one in my intermediate social circle and another acquaintance, there's been some other transitions. Now, one with my somewhat close friend, unfortunately, we've grown apart as she's really stuck around our alma mater with a teaching position. And me, I've set foot on campus 3 times in the 6 years that I've taken a class there. We still talk rare occasions, but as we were really close, there was always something a little strange, a little off. And it was about relationships with women. As time went on, we mutually helped each other. We understood things about ourselves, and I always thought that it was a matter of he had a type, he went after the wrong ones, they were crazy, because I know I did the same thing, and unfortunately some aspects still do, but there was always just that one little quirk. So a couple of years ago, there's a conversation as I'm at work. I'm sitting there, we're talking, and I get this link to a blog post. So I read it, digested it, and immediately within the first couple of sentences, I realized what the quirks really were. Some pieces were put together in a very interesting puzzle. And it turns out that a friend was transitioning. We laughed, we joked. I mean, it was a bit out of left field, but I was flattered that I was one of the first to know, felt appreciated because we had that bond then. Until the time was right, I kept it secret, kept it hidden, waited and waited and waited, and finally, when the announcement was made publicly, I was like, oh good. I knew everybody else in our social circle would be pretty accepting. They were, they still are. I mean, hell, this may lead to an opportunity to me being on a political campaign. I don't know. Depends on my timing, how serious she is. Stay tuned for those developments. But things aside from, unfortunately, growing apart were pretty normal. I was able to adjust. Things were okay, because it really wasn't a lot of adjusting I had to do. It was just like, oh, this makes sense. I can easily accept this. No real changes. Okay. Let us move on. So, fast forward more to the present day. In the past month or so, someone that I work with, we started the same day. Pretty cool, and again, we still get to talk, do stuff, but it was just kind of colleagues, acquaintances, what have you. He knew of my social issues over time, I knew of his, different things that was going on in his life, but didn't mean to drop the mic. Was trying to save that for later, but the mic didn't want to cooperate. He had his stuff going on. I had mine. It was just okay. We really didn't interact much, but I had noticed some subtle changes. Different hair, different colored fingernails, and I'm thinking, okay, always kind of out there, different things going on. We run into similar circles sometimes. It's just like, whatever. Nothing terribly out of the ordinary. Then, one day, I noticed a pretty big physical change. I walked in and I saw a couple things that weren't there before, and I'm like, okay, normally doesn't need a bra, normally doesn't wear one. Right. Weird. Where do those come from? Why are they here? I got a bunch of questions circulating in my mind. Well, I kind of filed that away for things to potentially investigate when the time comes. So I'm searching along, minding my own business. As I had mentioned in the premier podcast, reaching out to another favorite radio show for help on my dating profile. So I'm on OkCupid, sifting around, potential matches, and then all of a sudden, boom. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. They look familiar. So I take a glimpse, I read the profile, and I'm like, oh, okay, this was from work, and I'm like, all right, I'm reading. It's like, okay, so this is happening. Apparently, there's another transition going on. This one, I wasn't so well equipped for. I could still understand it. I could still process it. I could still digest it. But the difference is, when you're standing at the plate and you're facing a familiar pitcher, it's one situation. When you're in the outfield trying to catch a fly ball and trying to pay attention to the lights, to the tracking, to everything going on, that's a different animal. You, in the former instance, you have tape, you have batting practice, you have multiple ways to prepare. In the latter instance, you really don't until all of a sudden it starts to come at you. There it is. So, I had to sit and think. I even talked with, my awesome producer, Sean, wondering, how do I even approach this on the show? Well, he and I got to talking, talked with a couple other people, and then all of a sudden, listening to Maynard doing his thing again, I just got the idea. The words just flew around in my head, and I'm like, it's really not so bad. It's just like everything else being new, all of these other things changing. Really nothing of a terrible deal, really. Good for now her. Working and sorting out things that they feel that's going on, and with me, I just march along, go about my business. Like before, shit hasn't changed. No matter everything that's going around, everything that does change and evolve around you, there's still just some situations where that pattern remains the same. And I guess I feel pretty good with that. If you're in that situation, you should feel just as good, because in the end, sometimes there are subtle differences. Sometimes the subtle differences really aren't differences at all. They're just blips on our radar screen that is life. We don't need to get in a single ping position because it's just stuff. We ping, they ping back. You know where everything is. It's kind of comforting in a sense. But alas, enough of me and my personal adventures. I, for the sake of just getting it out of the way, it is this episode of This Week in Misery. And oh dear God, misery is so incredibly fitting. If you followed up the past couple of weeks, be it through news outlets, be it through Facebook, or for the love of God, be it through Twitter, you know we are still being run by a total fuckhead. That, there's no other way to say it. Hyper blonde hair, orange skin, dog piss Jones between the ears. This is the fuckhead that's representing us. Or at least is supposed to. But now there's been a steady drip of information. More and more things about the infamous dossier being confirmed, which is leading to now 9 or 10 dead Russians and a few others, everywhere from falling out of fourth-story windows to poisonings to being shot in broad daylight and having bodies left right at the head of the Kremlin. Yeah, there's a lot of messages being sent, and apparently room for error in a lot of cases is small. But even with all that going on, there's still the drips of information. And now, thank fuck, there are testimonies. Now, granted, what we are going to see is John Q. Public isn't near where the information where we should know, but rules are rules, and classifications are still classifications. There's a lot of stuff that we are not going to know for a very long time, but for the drips of information and who's involved, we are going to know, as today's hearings with FBI Director James Comey pretty much proved. But while we're going through and doing all of that, and dealing with Republicans mysteriously wanting to leave government, like Jason Chaffetz, who has apparently had a bum foot for all this time, but now that the heat's getting on and the House Oversight Committee is doing next to dick, he decides, end of the line for me. There's a lot of shit that's going to go down, so I'm going to get surgery, take care of my foot, and oh, by the way, I'm not going to run for re-election. You can have this. Cop out, but a pleasant, because that's one less Republican, which for the state of things is a good thing. But even while all this is going on, having passed the infamous tax day, our dollars are going to still go to something. There was an issue with the debt ceiling. We bumped up against it yet again, and instead of just simply signing everything away, 45 decided not to give a fuck about it so he can go off and hold one more rally where he can try to brainwash people. So we hit the debt ceiling, and we were going to run out of money. And when we run out of money, the government shuts down. So they decided we need to do something. Shutdowns are pretty much bad for business. So at the 11th hour, they came up with a $1.1 trillion spending bill. Now, if you take a look at all of Trump's promises, building the wall, not going to happen. Defunding Planned Parenthood, not going to happen. Defunding sanctuary cities, not going to happen. Getting rid of the EPA, not going to happen. Corporation for Public Broadcasting, not going to happen. Everything that that man popped off at the mouth and said on the campaign trail and since, Congress was just like, no, 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 no. You're going to get not a goddamn thing, and you're going to like it. So, we as a country are, at least for the most part, going to be sane again. We're going to be safe. We're going to attempt to stay healthy. Which, always a good thing, but I'm not holding out my breath. Especially because baby wanted a bottle, wanted to pout, and did so whining like a little bitch on Twitter again. Saying about changing the rules or getting more Republicans and pretty much feeding a government shutdown. Which, he can go ahead to have. I mean, for legit talk, my only personal ties to the government are my student loans. So them shutting down, the government shutting down really wouldn't affect my life a whole bunch. Now there are thousands of people where it would. Everywhere from the Park Service to all kinds of different staffers, everything going on. But at the same time, there should be thousands more. But with the government running on a staff of only about 22 key positions, would it really make that much of a difference? Nobody knows what the other one's really doing, nor do they want to. So, this week hasn't been terribly miserable in the grand scheme, but the misery's coming. If we're not going to be dealing with more of these hearings, we're going to be dealing with other stuff. And, well, we still have a president who's still running the show like The Apprentice, and he still has access to the nuclear launch codes and Twitter on an unsecured Android phone. Walking around the White House naked. This is the supposed leader of the free world, ladies and gentlemen. Let all of that sink in. And as you do, be damn thankful they're not gonna come after your medical weed. In the name of everything that's holy, get your cards. You're gonna need them now more than ever until all of this shakes out. And unfortunately, it might be a little while. It might be a little while. Everybody's throwing up every kind of stone wall, all to protect the great name of the elephant. And look what that does in the process. Going to close tonight's show with the latest sports news. And for those of you who don't live under rocks, you know about the big stories. Isaiah Thomas going off against the Wizards in the NBA playoffs, which, still great that you're doing it against the Wizards. You're not going to do that against the Cavaliers. Golden State still being Golden State, doing their thing. I mean, it's just, we know how this movie is going to end. It's going to be the winner of Golden State San Antonio going up against Cleveland in the finals. If it's Golden State, maybe Cleveland wins again. I would doubt that. If it's San Antonio, my money would be on the Spurs. But I just tune in for that last round. Tune in for the finals. Tune in for the last 20 minutes. Because right now, all of this is merely crescendo. You're not at the big action scene. You're not at the moment of the first kiss. You're not at the big confrontation, the stare down, the smoking gun. We're not at that point of the movie yet with the NBA playoffs. We're not. I'm not. And I'm not interested. But for all the same time, millions of other people are. Ratings are fantastic. Even though there's only been technically one upset, and that was the Jazz beating the Clippers in 7, but that was a 4-5 series, so can you really call that an upset? I mean, let's be for real here. If I'm not mistaken, the Jazz were pretty close to having home court advantage in that series anyway. Sometimes that's just how things work. But it's still just that little snippet of the playoffs. But everybody loves to tune in because they know how it's going to end. If you really want surprises and you really want action and you really want to be on the edge of your seat, go to the NHL playoffs. You had one of the perennial Stanley Cup contenders, especially since 2010, the Chicago Blackhawks. They were swept in the first round by Nashville, who, they're a win away from going to the conference finals. Nashville, Music City, Grand Ole Opry, honky tonk. Women singing about random shit wearing big haired daisy dukes, wondering how high of a note they're gonna hit while I'm bending them over, pounding them. I mean, this is what Nashville's known for. The cowboy hats, guitars, and the deer music, and everything about your dog or your woman leaving you, to four trucks, whatever the fuck they can put together. This is what Nashville's known for. And they have a surprisingly badass hockey team this year. And one of my last remaining sports dreams is seeing an all-Canadian Stanley Cup final just to shove it up Gary Bettman's ass. That's actually still pretty close. Montreal out, thanks to the New York Rangers. But Ottawa has a 2-1 lead in that series. Calgary out, swept by Anaheim. Now going up against Edmonton. Edmonton, fueled by Connor McDavid, who just turned 20 a few months ago, lighting it up. They've got a 2-0 lead in that series. Unfortunately, Toronto's out at the hands of Washington after a very good series, a young team. I expect them to be back and contending. But lo and behold, you get Washington and Pittsburgh. Super 8. Alex Ovechkin against Sid the Kid. Well, except now, not anymore, because unfortunately, he's suffered yet another concussion. An ugly hit. Not a dirty hit, but an ugly one. Capitals are trying to come back. Pittsburgh, defending Stanley Cup champs, up 2-1 in that series. So with all of this going on, with all the upsets, all the drama, incredible comebacks, overtime, double overtime games, you don't know what the fuck is going to happen from night to night. People still ignore the NHL playoffs. They still do. I guess this just shows the jingoistic appeal about our society. We care about what we do, our teams and our sports that we invent. This is what we care about. Now, although technically we didn't invent football, yes, you had Princeton and Rutgers, a 25-a-side, battle it out to a 6-4 game back in 1869. We really didn't invent that. That has its origins in Australia, which they were organizing and playing back in 1858. And even that brutal stylistic football, as it was, came from an Englishman, William Webb Ellis, who, with the blatant disregard for the rules of soccer, picked up the ball and started running with it in 1823, thus inventing rugby, the precursor to the football that we have today. But that's still incredibly popular. Everybody credits Abner Doubleday for inventing baseball, but there was much more evidence of that in England and even in China. We're still holding on an interest to that. James Naismith, the sport with the peach baskets and no talking and the different lines on the court and the different positions, the sport that he invented is pretty much right now almost reigning supreme. Almost. Almost. But it is. Because he's an American and he invented it. And it's ours. And everybody catches up to us. We made football popular and everybody catches up to us. Whereas with the other sports that are the most surprising and potentially postseason-wise more entertaining, we're catching up to everybody else. Now, we could be interested any sports, just as the ones that we invent, we could do something. Yeah, we could catch up to everyone else, and we could be to the point where everyone's catching up to us. Now, to wrap up, yes, if you were living under a rock, then you do not know about the NFL draft. It came and went in something of a flurry, but it still had its entertaining moments. The Browns deciding not to be the Browns. Draft smart. Myles Garrett, number one overall pick. They trade up, trade down, get some key pieces of what they need. They give at least a very good facade of knowing what they're doing until they drafted DeShone Kizer in the second round, which, that's to remind everyone, they're still the Browns. But the Browns, not even my hometown Jaguars, not even the Dolphins, they weren't the reasons why I cared this year. This year, the team that got my attention is the now Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders. Why? Well, in my search for going out, bettering myself, padding my portfolio, I happened to stumble upon some awesome people. The very good site, RaiderRamble.com, at RaiderRamble on Twitter, RaiderRamble on Facebook. They came to me. It's kind of an advertisement saying, hey, you know, anyone who's interested, writing about sports. Well, I was interested. Going alongside my work, broadening my horizons from inside the arena. But had the interview, everything went well, got accepted. So the Raiders are going to be one of my teams. So because the Raiders are going to be one of my teams for the foreseeable future, I'm going to tune into the draft because one more team that I can keep a close eye on. And so far, it's worked well. It gave me that reason to pay attention and be on time for the first round. Keep an eye out for any good trades in the second and third round. But then by day three, I honestly was like, okay, when are the picks from London coming? Here's the picks from Vegas. Where are the picks from space? They're not really picks from space. They threw it back to Houston. I felt cheated. That's false advertisement. What the fuck are you doing to me? I'm going to go change to something else. But honestly, this was the most attention that I had paid to the draft in a couple of years. Because it's a pivotal moment on the NFL calendar, but it's not really the moment. And again, is the beginning of building the crescendo to the preseason, which is when I pay attention the most, and then finally the regular season. Normally, this would just be a time where I think about fantasy football. I've got my decisions to make there, especially this year. But it's giving me extra oomph. Already had some conferences with the folks from Raider Ramble, and stay tuned, because the squid's going to make his mark. Going to squirt my ink all over that bitch. And I think everybody's going to like it. But alas, I am spent. My time has come to a close for this episode. So, if you want to hear more consistent, more coherent ramblings, you can catch me on some of my other work, especially This Week in the AFL, at This Week in AFL, Stephen Irwin, Jordan Palacio. You can catch me on Soccer to the Max with the awesome producer Sean. He's at W2M Sean on Twitter. or Rachel McCreager at Rachel McCreager on Twitter, although she got some commitments, so gonna be a little lighter until she gets back, but she's holding it down, got her big girl job chasing that paper. We love her for it. You still got me writing at @inside_arena. And if you want to find any of our other work, W2Mnetwork.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, whatever you use to listen to me or anything else, go to it. You'll find us, and you'll thank us for it. I certainly thank you for it. But in the meantime, I'm out. And as I remind everybody, do your homework. Don't you dare forget to be awesome.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.